that. How many of you have had some kind of a conflict with someone this week? Some kind of a conflict with someone. Or you know of one. You know of a conflict that's going on, maybe in your family, something like that. Come on, hold your hand up. Yeah, if you don't raise your hand, I'm gonna put you in a conflict. Okay, no. Probably almost everyone has been involved with some kind of conflict this week, or you may know of one. It may be a husband and wife. Steve's in one now, since he gave his wife a hard time about how old she is. We're going to help you with that after a while, Steve. It may be between a parent and a child. If you have a child, this week I guarantee you had a conflict. Unless you've got a saint for a child. It could be between a boss and his employer, if you were the employer, which most of you are, it may have been there. It may have been in the workplace. The simple fact is, conflicts are everywhere. Now, the key is not, will conflict happen? It will happen. The key is, how do you handle conflict? When conflict enters your life, which you're either in or will be in this week, how do you handle it? Are you a peacemaker, or are you an instigator? Do you help the situation, or do you hurt the situation? Now this morning, we're as we move along, we're going to get back to 1 Samuel 25. We are going to study a lady who was a peacemaker. Her name is Abigail, and she was a peacemaker. Folks, the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we don't need any instigators. We need peacemakers. An instigator hears something that's going on and says, did you hear about? I wouldn't take that if I were you. Boy, if I were you, I'd... That's an instigator. That's a talebearer. We don't need that. You don't need that in your home. By the way, husbands and wives, if you're not a peacemaker, it may not be long before you don't have a home. A peacemaker. Now, I want you to start in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 are what famous sermon? Sermon on the Mount. Very good. That was subtle, wasn't it? What sermon? Chapter 5 and verse 9 says, let's read it together. We never do this. Let's read it together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and the reference. Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, the simple matter of fact is that conflict is universal. Now, there's national conflict. There are several wars going on, some major ones. In Iraq, we know about. Of course, we know about the war in Afghanistan. There are thousands of conflicts, minor conflicts, going on in countries all around the world. Conflict is universal, but conflict is very personal. The simple matter of fact is you are going to have conflict. It is amazing that the people we have conflict with. You may have had conflict this week with people you don't even know. You were driving down the road and they cut you off. You don't even know. They're total strangers. And yet, there's conflict. I hope you handled that well. We'll have any personal testimony. No, I'm just kidding. You will have conflict with people who are acquaintances or friends, or if you're dating or with your husband or wife. You say, well, I'm divorced. I took care of that. No, you didn't. You still got conflict. In fact, now it's probably permanent. That's a whole different sermon. And what causes conflict? Well, conflict can be caused by very innocent things. The simple matter of fact, we're all different. We all have different ideas. We think differently. We like different things. I like sports. I hate shopping. See, right there, I've got conflict. All the women. And maybe a few men who love to shop. See, we all have opinions. You know, there's even conflict about the way you say things. There's a mountain range near here. What's the name of that mountain range? See, you all got conflict right there. You don't even have the same way to say the word. How about the nut? P-E-C-A-N. No, it's pecans. Is it almonds or almonds? Is it, yeah, depends where you live. Is it route, R-O-U-T-E, is that route or root? I heard root over here. I heard rot over here. Tomatoes or tomatoes? Who knows? Now, obviously, those kind of differences aren't very serious. But most conflict is very serious. There are people here today who have hurt feelings because of conflict this week. People here who have broken relationships because of conflict. Isn't it a shame that half of all marriages end in divorce? Where does that start? Conflict. I spoke to a man years ago who had gotten divorced. And by the way, if you're divorced here today, I'm not beating on you. You can't change the past. You can change the present. And I said, why'd you guys get divorced? They were faithful in church. He said, well, now here's the reason this man gave me, folks. He said, when we go out to eat, my wife likes to sit out in the middle of the restaurant where all the activity is. I like to sit over in the corner. Now, folks, the problem is people don't know how to handle conflict. It's interesting that small conflicts can turn into huge problems even throughout all time. Think about the conflict between the Arabs and the Jews. Now, I know that God prophesied that, but think about their hatred for each other today. Smarter with a small conflict has grown. It's interesting, even the early Christians had conflict. Who went on the first missionary journey? Paul and Barnabas. When the second missionary journey came around, Paul and Barnabas said, hey, let's go. Barnabas said, let's take John Mark. Paul said, uh-uh, I'm not taking him. Conflict. Conflict. And they split up and went their ways. And Paul took Silas. Barnabas took Mark. Conflict. All kinds of conflict. It happens, folks, because we have different opinions, but it also happens because we have different desires and we are right. When you have conflict, whose fault is it? Their fault. Right? It's never my fault. There is one reason for conflict. The Bible tells us what it is in Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. I'm right. When my wife and I have conflict, you know the problem? She's wrong. I'm going to pay for that one. Isn't that how we feel, though, if we're to be honest about it? Every conflict you may have existing in your life today, if you're be honest and upfront with me, you would probably say, you know what, it's not my fault. I'm innocent. Now, the question is, how do you handle conflict? I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 25, and I'm going to get there in a moment. I do want to take a little bit of time talking about Matthew 5:9. In fact, I kind of jumped the gun. Tell you what, turn back to Matthew 5:9. I don't know what you guys are doing. What's wrong with you? The peacemaker comes to a scene where there is conflict, and they intervene in the situation, and they bring about peace. And it's very interesting in this passage what he says about these people. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. These peacemakers, do you realize when you are a peacemaker, you have the very character of God? One of God's attributes in 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Hebrews 13:20 says, the God of peace. In Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is called the what? At the very end, Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. By the way, you realize when you were born in sin, you were at enmity with God. You were separated from God, a holy God. You were separated from a holy God by your sin. By the way, whose fault was that? Come on. Yeah, blame it on Adam. That's exactly right. That's interesting. The men all blamed Adam. I thought you blamed Eve. Well, obviously we were born with a carnal nature, but we sin because of that, and we sin, and we're at enmity because of God, with God because of ourselves. Who caused it? We did. It's always amazing to me when someone is in conflict. If I'm in conflict with Lynn and it's Lynn's fault, who should fix it? Lynn. Wait a minute. We have a conflict with God because God is holy and we are sinful. Who fixed it? The offender or the offended? The offended. Listen, one man said, we are more like God when we are peacemakers than any other time. Aren't you glad that God saw fit to make peace for you? That he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you to make peace? Without Christ, you're still at enmity with God. You cannot go to heaven. You're separated from God by your sin. But hallelujah, one day God said, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to make a way that they can have peace with God. And by faith in Christ, the sins removed, we can have peace. And the veil, I read this week about the crucifixion, the veil was rent in two, and a way was made into the very Holy of Holies. Who did that? God did that. God made a way for you to have peace with God. And he wants you to have the peace of God. You know, it's interesting. The Jews and the Gentiles in the New Testament day were at enmity also. In fact, if a Gentile went to the tabernacle or the temple to worship, he could not go in. There was a wall that separated the Gentiles. The Jews could not even go into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus Christ died, that middle wall of partition, that barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles was broken down. And today, isn't it wonderful when believers get together? We visited the Briggs last week, visited the Elzies this week, visited the Woodards about a month ago, I guess. Folks I didn't know from Adam. But we got together and there was fellowship. Why? Well, because Jesus died on the cross and he saved us and we became children of God. We're in the same family and there's fellowship. I've always been amazed when believers get together who don't even know each other and the fellowship that's there. Why? Because God made peace. He made peace. And when you're a peacemaker, you're doing the work of God. By the way, on the other foot, on the other hand, I guess I don't have a little foot. When you are an instigator, whose work are you doing? When you are an accuser, whose work are you doing? When you are a talebearer, whose work are you doing? Maybe we ought to just stop right there and have an invitation. Now, I'd have to come forward too. Believers ought to be peacemakers. Now, very quickly, now you can turn to 1 Samuel 25. Very quickly, I want to give you the setting. There is great need for a peacemaker. As you know, David had brought his 600 men to Maon around Nabal, and he had lived with Nabal's shepherds and sheep and had protected them. And now it's sheep shearing time, a time of celebration, a time of feasting, and he sends messengers to Nabal and says, please feed my men. Give me food. Nabal says, who are you? I'm not giving you anything. It's my meat. It's my water. It's my land. Forget you. David, in very Christian fashion, says, okay, I'm going to come and kill all of you. And so David's on the warpath, literally, coming to kill all the men, kill Nabal and all the men. A servant, as we studied last week, an unnamed man, came to Abigail, Nabal's wife, and said, we're in big trouble. You've got to do something. So there is a terrible conflict. People are going to die if something is not done. Abigail becomes the peacemaker, steps up to the plate, and let's see what she does. 1 Samuel 25, verse 18. And Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine, and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. The first thing I see about a peacemaker is that she has initiative. She took the initiative to solve the problem. Again, in my relationship to Lynn, what we typically do as Christians is say it's his fault. We have a conflict, but it's his fault. He's the one that needs to solve it. I'm going to sit back, and when he comes to me, then I'll get it right. When he comes and apologizes, then I will be glad to forgive him. That's not the Bible way. Here, Abigail could have sat back and said, "You know what? This is not my problem. Nabal's the one that's done it. Nabal needs to take care of it." She takes the initiative. She's the peacemaker. She's going to go forward, and she's going to deal with the situation. Now, you say, "Well, how do you say that's biblical?" Well, I tell you, for sake of time, let me just give you the Seaman version. A man comes to pray. He's a Christian, comes to the altar and pray. And while he's praying at the altar, he realizes that someone has aught against him. What does the Bible say to do? Leave the altar, go find the person, get it right. Take the initiative, get it right. You know, you may be innocent. You may not have done anything wrong. But if conflict is going to be solved, you need to be the person to say, "You know what? I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it." You know, there may be someone sitting right now saying, "You know what? I've got an issue. I've got a conflict. But it's not my fault." When they take care of it, look, it may never be resolved. I would encourage you, if you're in the middle of a conflict, take the initiative like Abigail. Go out and get this thing resolved. Husbands and wives, when you have a fight, if that ever happens in your home, probably doesn't, but if it ever does, do you take the initiative? There may be couples in here this morning that are at odds, and both sides are saying it's their fault. Now, you say, "Well, when she comes to me, if she'll come to me and she'll apologize, you know what she's saying? If he'll come to me and apologize, is it going to be resolved?" Not going to happen. And by the way, what keeps you from going and resolving the conflict? Pride. Pride. Now, it's interesting to me that not only did she take the initiative, but look at her humility in this passage. And by the way, I'm running out of time. I'm going to have to fly through this thing. Did you see her kindness? What did she do? She starts sending food. Okay, we're going to feed these guys. Now, women, by the way, if there's a conflict between your husband, here's the way to solve it. Fix him some ribs. You know? Amen. Preach it, brother. Now we've got down to some Bible, haven't we? Banana pudding. There we go. We're getting orders for you right now. If you go to jail, you can get some. She comes to David and she doesn't say, "You dirty, rotten thug, coming to kill all these men. What are you thinking about anyway? I mean, we let you live in our land. We let you drink our water. We didn't turn you into the king." Now look, folks. If you go to resolve conflict and I say, "Lynn, you did me wrong, boy. You burned me, buddy. You did wrong. You hurt me. But I'm here to ask forgiveness and get it right." You say, "Okay, my wife and I have been having a problem, but boy, I'm gonna take care of her. I'm gonna go to her, and dear, now I want you to know you were wrong about this thing, but I'm willing to forgive you." Abigail, she comes in a loving manner and she's kind to him, and she follows the passage that says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. By the way, isn't that the definition of conflict? Listen to those words again. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Huh? By the way, when you have conflict with your wife, men, or maybe the other way around, woman with your husband, what do? You just stay at home and don't tell anybody. No, you get on Facebook, tell the whole world. You and me, my husband did me. You call your mother. And she'll say, I told you not to marry that guy in the first place, you big W. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Tender heart, and here it is, folks, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wow, if we would just practice that verse, we would have harmony in our homes. If we just practice that verse. She was kind. Notice her humility. Verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. How did she keep referring to David? My Lord. And she called herself handmaid. There's that humility. I remember years ago, some of you know Graham Foran. There was a family in our church had a young teenage boy. Graham was a youth pastor at the time. And the young boy got off on drugs. And the family came and railed on him. I mean, they beat him over the head. They accused him of all kinds of things. Basically, it was his fault. Now, he could have said, wait a minute. You're a loser of parents. I mean, you don't have a clue about how to take care of this kid. And you have bombed out and he's on drugs because you, not me. But he didn't respond at all. And he commented to me and he said, you know, if it helps them somehow by blaming me and it helps their family, that's fine. What does it cost you to say, I'm sorry, it's my fault, even if you don't think it was? What does it cost you? Not a thing. Not a thing. Was this Abigail's fault? Had she done this? No, it was Nabal's fault. And yet she says, hey, it's my fault. I'll take all the blame. I did it. It's my fault. Wow, what a humble spirit. What a humble spirit. To go to the person you're in conflict with and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, if I have offended you in any way, and I've had to do this. And we ought to make a practice of it. If there is conflict between you and somebody else, whether it's your fault or not, boy, in a kind spirit, take the initiative, go to them and humbly say, boy, I feel like there's friction between us. If I've done something to hurt you, boy, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? You say, but it's not my fault. Okay, well then live with the conflict. Live with the bitterness and the anger and the problems. Boy, she showed great wisdom too. Great wisdom. She came to David and said, you know, this fool, his name's Fool, he really is a fool. Now, I don't know women if you talk about your husbands that way, but she said, he's not worth your time. You're going to be the king someday, and you don't need this blight hanging over yourself, and if you'll just leave it alone, God will take care of it. Now, we're talking about conflict here, and I'm not just talking about conflict between you and someone else. It may be between someone else that comes to you and says, oh, did you hear about this in this situation, and what did I... What great recourse to tell them, look, leave it to God. God will take care of it. That's what she told him. Said, David, if you'll just leave it alone, God will avenge you. And that's found in Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but give place unto wrath, or neither, but rather give place unto wrath. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What an example of a peacemaker. She took the initiative to say, you know what? In kindness, in humility, It's my fault. You know, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Let's get this thing fixed. Now, I want you to think about a conflict that you know about, maybe one that you're in. Maybe one you know about. Maybe one in the workplace. Maybe one at home. Maybe one between you and your children. What if you had that spirit? I want you to know I love you. If I have done something to hurt you or offend you, I'm sorry. I want us to love each other and have fellowship and have sweet communion. Be a peacemaker. Now, this is a great story. You want to know the rest of the story? Sit up straight and I'll tell you. We got 2 minutes. We can do this. David stops in his track. And by the way, wouldn't you guys? Somebody brought you a full meal. What are you guys going to do? You're going to quit fighting. You're stop and eat. Sure. And they stop and he says, you know what? You're right. I'm not going to do anything. Now, Nabal's been feasting and drinking. He's drunk and he gets up the next morning and Abigail said, hey, by the way, I just want to let you know what's going on. And the boy, we don't really know what it is. It said his heart died within him. The boy, he had a stroke, was paralyzed or something. And 10 days later, he died. Why'd that happen? If David had gone in there and slaughtered them all, that'd be against him. It would have hurt his reputation, would have hurt his power as ruler of the kingdom someday. But he left it up to God, and God took care of it. God took care of it. Now, are you a peacemaker or an instigator? Are you solving the problem or helping cause the problem? Blessed, happy are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they're the children of God. They're the very character of God. For God is a God of peace. Do you have the character of God? Are you a peacemaker? Are you like Abigail? Are you solving the conflict or causing the conflict? Well, may the Lord help us this week to be peacemakers. Let's be peacemakers. By the way, that's where the joy and the happiness comes from. You say, no, for me, it's a whole lot more fun to be an instigator. Let's be peacemakers. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as believers to be peacemakers this week. God, there are conflicts in our lives, and help us, Lord, to face them and be peacemakers. Help us to be like you, I pray. Help us to humble ourselves, take the initiative, and kindly deal with the problem, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So great to have you.